Mér finnst ekki gott að blotna.
Thank you. Indeed, beware of darkness. George Harrison from All Things Must Pass. And I've got to get out of here. I've got to make room for Miracle Nutrition now. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. I am Fabio. I'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everyone on the comments board. And yeah, take care. See you later. Bye.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, for a full hour of thinking about things and listening to things and being together. Oh, I hope we can bring each other joy. If one of us is happy and the rest aren't, maybe you can get us infected. I hope you catch it. Hello, my friends. I'm often asked, Hardy, how do you do it? And I don't know what the it is, whether it's making stew or put your shoes on, but I assume it has to do with radio. How do you do your radio show? Well, today I'm going to tell you all my secrets, how I do it, how I do the music, and how I come up with ideas, my philosophy, any kind of things I do with my voice practice. What do you gargle with? Do you gargle with something? I see a lot of voice people gargle with something. No. Isn't that surprising? Sometimes I do if I'm having some kind of health anxiety and go, oh my God, there's something wrong with my throat. And then I will gargle with salt water while I'm crying and panicking. But as a habit, I don't. I just clear my throat, drink some fresh water, and I'm ready to go. Now, if I'm doing an old-time dramatic play, I will drink unfresh water or water that's not meant to be, that's not potable. And why is that? Well, I'm trying to get into the mood, you know? So I make myself a little bit sick. And if I feel kind of half sick, I go, this is, I think, the way that people used to feel all the time. Everybody was just a little bit nauseous, I think, our ancestors. And now we're used to feeling, I'm going to feel fine all the time. Well, that isn't what it was. Everything, all the great buildings you see, everything was built with a headache. Everyone had a splitting headache, and they got things done anyway. And you can tell a lot of literature was written that way. You go, oh, this, if you've read the Bible, you go, whoever wrote this had a migraine. Probably going. So was seeing things too. I see God. No, that's an ocular migraine. And I don't know what causes it, but you're seeing little squiggly colored things and everything. I mean, it could be God. I don't know. Oh my goodness. I'm the last person. So I'm going to just give you some tips. And the last big production I did was last week, and it was my interpretation, my audio sweeting, I call it. That's when you make your own version of a film with your friends, but I don't do visual stuff, so I just do the audio version. And I've done that before. You go, oh, I'm going to do an audio version of a television show. And you say, well, Hardy, some of the action, you know, doesn't have any dialogue. It's just pictures and music. And I go, I know, that's fine. I have no problem with that. How will I know what's going on? You'll figure it out. There's too much exposition in things anyway. I mean, if you're and you hear squealing wheels, then there's a car chase. It's that simple. And you've seen so many car chases, so you figure it out. My show, as you know, is a collaborative effort. And I do probably 1% of the work, and you do 99% of the work. And I think that's the way it should be. I think that's wonderful. Why is that? Well, it's less work for me, and for you, I don't know. Well, you wouldn't be doing it if it hurt you. So here's, I'm going to show you some tricks. And here's one of it. Oh, pardon me. No, that wasn't gas. That was a synthesizer trombone. Oh, Godzilla or Barry White? I know. So this is good for setting a tone. I had a monster movie, you know, last week, so.
Ooh, it's ominous. The ominous sounds of the trombone.
Feels so good. Can't stop my hands. Now that is Barry White. And Barry White is not scary. I guess, well, it'd be context, wouldn't it? You go, oh, you startled me. I didn't know it was you, Barry. And you startled me.
It's just me. Everything's all right.
Say, so, oh, good, good. So that's a fun.
It's ominous.
And you can have just that sometimes. But that with a little strings, and you're really set. Speaking of strings, a fun thing to do with strings is just tone cluster stabs. And those stabs usually are there to say, hey, someone's being stabbed. So the violin stab, you go, that's substituting for an actual stab or something horrible. So it goes like this. Like that, and you go, oh, no, you know, something's up. There's a stabbing or anything. So that's something you can do. You can put those low string beds in, too, for the cello. Something scary might be happening. But what if the mood you're going for is Gilligan, like silly, or perhaps a 70s ad, you know? And that's lighthearted. Well, that's not right. That sounds good. So that's a bassoon. So bassoon's funny. Funny, funny. But every time the bassoon, you go. Oh, Gillian's doing something dumb, I bet. And life got you down. And then you've got the 70s sound like that. And you can do that with the bassoon. Now, what if you wanted to get, like, it's not silly, or suddenly Gilligan is on the Starship Enterprise, and the Starship Enterprise encounters a lot of psychedelic experiences. You have a lot of, like, oh, I'm so disoriented because I've hit a wormhole or what have you. And this was also inspired by acid in the 60s. People took a lot of acid, and then they were writing shows, and they go, I bet, you know what? This is like being on a spaceship in a way. And so, so what that is, that's a harp with a little echo on it, with a 1/8 note echo. And that is, I stole that from Star Trek and everything. And you just do chromatic things with that. Here we go down to go the crazy. Oh, no, I'm up, but crazy. Jim. And so that's what you can use a harp for. Now, all that music is important. You don't need a lot of elaborate music, I find. Sometimes I just do a walking bass. Now, the walking bass is good for, like, if I'm a detective. Yeah, I'm in the city, see? And I'm detecting. There's a lot of stories in the city, and I'm detecting all of them, see? Yeah, crazy. And you don't have to play anything interesting because people are hopefully just listening to the words, right? And this is just in the background. It's a signal to them that it's cool in the city. Yeah, so that'll be for any kind of detective thing. Now, what do you want to do with that is put some street sounds with it. That always works well. So I have some that I've recorded over the years. This one is a street corner in Toronto where I'm waiting for a tour bus. And so it's got that nice car going by like that. And then I have one that I use more often. And so I went down to the end of the street. And this is the nearest sort of busy intersection to my house. And so that's usually my car sound. You can mix it really low, like it's outside, or you can adjust the sound. So if I'm going from inside to outside, I'd have the sound come down so you'd hear it, you get softer. And then maybe I put some bass over it. Now we're really in the city, yeah. I'm telling a story, see? And see, that's where the bass and the traffic together. And then maybe throw some sirens in there or something, you know? But those I haven't recorded. Sometimes I will use canned effects. I'm not gonna demonstrate any of the canned ones today, just the ones that I've made. But there are some things that you might not be able to just get a recording of on your own, like an explosion or gunfire. And the other one are screams. No one screams right, and it's been always a challenge throughout the years for to get decent screams. So as you know, and everybody knows by now, a lot of times they will grab classic screams out of movies and just use them. And there's two notable screams that I've used sometimes. One is the Wilhelm scream. And the other is called the Howie scream, which is a little bit longer and agonizing. Yeah. Oh my goodness, are you okay? So if you wanted to make that sound like it was coming from a toilet stall, you would just add some reverb. And they go, oh, my word. So those are some screams you might want to use. And there's lots on the internet. And I just grab those rather than having friends come over and scream. Because I don't want anybody to call the police thinking something's wrong. Where do you record a scream? You have to go out. There's no place soundproof enough. Everybody's like, I thought I heard a scream. It just cuts through. You know, it's very primal. So those are some fun things. Another thing that I've had to make, and there's some, I'm trying to think unusual ones that I've made for the last show. Oh, I needed a shoveling sound effect, but I couldn't go outside because of all the ambient noise there, and I couldn't really do it. I don't have like a proper studio where I can bring in, you know, a ton of dirt and shovels and everything. So I had this idea that I would take this like pastry scraper, which is a metal, like a 4x5 piece of metal with a wooden little handle for scraping up pastry. And then I went to the garden and I got a chunk of limestone. And then I did that. So, and it sounded enough like shoveling. When I added it with some dough I had made. I put flour and water together and made this kind of dough. And then that was my gloopy ploppy clay mud sound, because they were shoveling this clay and this mud, and it was making a, you know, sound. That was my cheek. I did that. And then there was a shattering noise, which was taco shells. I put some taco shells in a bowl. And I crush them. And crushing is a great way to make realistic sound effects, especially crushing vegetables. Now, I've covered this before, but I'll play them again because I think it's fun. But for skull crushing or anything that sounds like a spine being ripped out of somebody's back, the green pepper is unparalleled. It just deserves some sort of award. But green pepper's been in so many movies and everything. I've tried other things, snapping. So nothing is as wet and nasty as the green pepper being crushed. Oh, your poor skull. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, there goes your exoskeleton. Ah, it's nasty. These are stabs. That's a potato and an apple, or apple and a potato. And then, let's see, what's this coming up? These are punches. No, those are too dry. Here's another punch. Now, that was a good punch. Now, these are body punches. A lot of the wet punches, maybe it was a wet paper towel roll I hit or something like that. It's hard to get that good snap. Here's my handgun and shotgun sounds. think they're largely staplers and things like that. I don't have a proper gun. I think that's either a stapler or something like that, some kind of tool. What's this one? Oh, a bone break. I think that's celery. That's either celery or carrot. I did several bone breaks, and they're always... Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry. I think you're going to have that looked at. And, oh, that's a slow motion one. I don't know. That could be even used as a tree. Slowing things down really does change the character. And I've used that a couple times. I have a go-to effect that is a slowed down lawnmower. So I take my lawnmower sound. Hey, I'm out mowing the lawn. Hey, that's my lawnmower. Probably doesn't start anymore. And I slow it down. And now we're in a big factory. I think I've used it for a old prop airplane or something like that. But that's just my slowed down lawnmower. And there you go. So you can speed things up, slow things down, and it makes them sound different. I'm trying to think of my other slowed down. I think I've got a couple go-to slowed down things I do. One of the slow effects I use the most is a creaking chair. I took a wooden chair and sort of scooted it and moved it around and then slowed it down. So it would be this creaking sound. Now, why did you do that? Why make the creaking sound? Well, because if you add ocean to it, now we're on a ship. See? So I thought, well, that would be my creaking wood sound on my ship, but it's just I think it's a child's wooden chair. And then to complete the sail, so to speak, no pun intended, add the seagull sounds. And now you have...
Bosun! Bosun!
Yes, Captain. What can I do for you?
I was wondering, are these seagull sounds?
Yes, sir, they're canned.
Ah, and the ocean shore sound?
That was recorded at Jekyll Island on vacation, sir.
Ah, that answers my question.
So there you go, and that's how I do my bosun and captain sound effect skits. And it's just, oh, is it relaxing and nice? It's like ASMR. What's that? That's the USS ASMR. That's a boat I served on, and it was just people napping. And with the lovely engine noises, they get one of these really old ships. And your job is to stay relaxed in case we need people who are chill. You know, we could in wartime or something. So, yes, I served on the USS ASMR. And I put in some time there still. And it's a lovely experience. And now, oh, we're back to silence. What? What? Are we dead? That's the thing, too. There's a funny phenomenon where you put yourself into a soundscape like that. And when it ends, it's jarring. I've noticed that because you say, well, I'm on a boat. And you forget that the background noise is there, the ambience is there. And then when it disappears, the silence is intense. Let me see if there's any other slow things. I remember I've done... stones falling slowly, being dropped, trying to make things sound bigger. I'm looking through my slow train. Oh my goodness, I've taken my theme songs and slowed them down so that there's a kind of menacing low frequency. Yeah, see, this is just the Ballstown theme song. Very, very slow.
And so it sounds like a scene in a Lynch movie. There's a menacing low frequency that's disturbing.
And that's why I put it there sometimes. Maybe you don't even know it's there. And it's kind of unnerving. They say sometimes that ghost phenomenons can be low frequency pulses from karst geography, that you're over a cave and something generates, the earth generates a super low frequency, and it rattles your brain and makes you feel like there's a ghostly hand up your back. Someone's pulled your shirt out of your pants and then put their ghostly cold hand up your back like that. And sometimes it's staff at the hotel, and then other times it's a ghost. But you could be staying over, that's over a cave or something like that. You don't know. Or you could be listening to, I'm listening to Hardy White, and the frequency was so low on that one skit. And I hate the word skit, you know that, but I'm using it to be, so you understand what I'm saying. It disturbed me. So I don't use it. If you're a regular listener or one of the weird ones, you will know that for years, decade, the characters have been having coffee and reading the paper. And for a long time, I did not have a set sound effect that I would, every time that I did that skit, I would do live coffee pot and everything like newspaper. And I don't know why. I just never got around to recording it separately. Also, there's a timing issue. You know, I wanted to make it sound like people are really eating around the table. So sometimes you got to do the sound effects after the fact, or they sound really chaotic and random. And I want them to sound like that's really something that somebody's doing. One of the more subtle sound effects I've done is when I do a radio. This is Emperor Hadrian. I forgot the name of the character. But when I'm doing that, that's the ambient sound for, oh, there's a radio station. Suddenly we were in another place. And sometimes just an ambient hum. This is my fridge. But I've used this before just to make it sound like I'm in a room. And, oh, there's me click. That's actually on the sound effect, that clicking. So I got to be careful something. And you can hear the fridge opening and closing. So I got to be careful what portion of a recording I grab when I'm doing something like that. So I don't get myself in there smacking my lips or something when it's supposed to be, just air conditioning. A lot of times if I'm doing a parody of an old television show or something, I want to sound like it's on, was recorded off the air on a VHS tape or something. And so it requires some hum and static. But also back in the day when things were, local affiliates were getting their network feed from the show, you would hear the little little modem beeps. And so you'd get that little tape noise, and then you would get the signal going, all right, there you go, they're talking to the network. And it's just like a modem sort of thing. And so I would put those in, you know, Channel 5, Maracas. This is us. Then you have your Ernie Anderson voice. You know, Angela's not gonna like it. Like that. On a brand new, there's something about Phil. So they, isn't that wonderful? Boy, they're talking to the network like crazy. So you have to use these judiciously, obviously, because, okay, all right, there, I got it, Lord. Because it gets too much. I have made some by myself sound effects because I've had access to a cool thing. For instance, my 50s, 60s Royal typewriter comes in handy for the background for cop shows in office. You have a couple phone rings back there, and you have an office. Isn't that something? And the wonderful thing, they've got the little bell on there, and the carriage return and everything. And you can do anything. Murder, She Wrote. Hey, Angela, there's been a murder at the old murder place. You better tell Angela. Not Angela. What's her name? I don't remember. I can't. All these old shows. But a lot of them would have the typing, the old-fashioned typing in them. Now, sometimes, I know that's funny, right? I'm going to need laughs. Thank you. There you have to go for just a old can laughter CD or something. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's funny. And, oh, what? And leave show business?
What are you wearing?
Like that. And then that's big. They love it. They love me. Thank you. Thank you. I know. It's crazy. So that's a good thing. And you can put that in now. If it doesn't, it isn't in the right place, it sounds like kind of lunatic. Yeah, right. So you got to be careful with the canned laughter. And getting it really to sound right is almost impossible. So I try to use it only when I want it to sound like canned laughter. If I want a real crowd, I have recorded one that I like a lot. Now, I did this probably 5 or 6 years ago or something in San Francisco for Vicki Bennett was premiering her Gone, Gone Beyond piece at Gray Area in San Francisco at this venue. So there was a big kind of reception and things going on, and I thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to record the crowd. No one talked to me for a minute. So I just stood there looking lonely with my cell phone and trying not to make eye contact with anybody so I could just record the crowd. And I've done this in restaurants too. And it works great. Then I have my building crowd. You can't tell what anybody's saying. You know, it still's got the mutter, mutter, peanut butter, which is what you do if you've ever done crowd noise for anybody. They say that's one of the things you can say. Now, mutter, mutter, peanut butter. So you could do that, and I've done that in some little bits on the radio. So that's my homemade crowd sound. How's that different from a restaurant? Well, you gotta have silverware and plate clicks. So this is a restaurant, like a brunch place that I recorded. Now there's some of you could hear people at my table going, I'll have juice or something like that in a minute. So you gotta be careful that any kind of intelligible sounds,
I'll have coffee, thank you.
Yes. But generally you can't hear anything, right? But it sounds like a restaurant. As I've been going through, looking at some of these clips I have in my sound effects file, I'm finding like songs I don't remember doing. So this one is called Wistful Gilligan, and I think I did a Gilligan thing, and there wasn't a lot of dialogue. It might have been a dialogue-less Gilligan's Island. I don't remember exactly. But this one's entitled Wistful Gilligan. It's from 6 years ago. I assume I used it, but Gilligan's sad. Maybe they've said, you get out of here, we don't need you anymore. And he's walking through the jungle with his head down, you know, and soon he'll bump into Phil Silvers or something. But right now you think, oh, poor Gilligan's dejected. What are they going to do, eat him? Maybe? We don't know, you know, at that point. And so there's some tension there. Yeah, and I have a few like that, but usually I'll make them on demand because I don't know whether what I'm going to need music bed wise, you know. So I only use library music when I hear it in my head. I've had one album forever. It's a KPM album I've had. I'll use that sometimes. It's from the 70s. And the reason I use that is because I heard one of the little stabs on there I heard on Monty Python one time. And I thought, oh, this is great. This is Monty Python era library music. If you don't know what that is, it's like production music. You know, I need something to sound like a serial commercial, but I can't make my own. And then you use this production music. I remember using it a lot when I first started in radio. And then it got much easier to do things with synthesizers or record my own music too. Now, there's one thing I can't do, and that is sing. So it's so funny. My voice, I can do all sorts of things with it. Make it sound pleasing is not one. So I don't know exactly, or make it sound tuneful, let's put it that way. And I certainly can't recreate the wonderful sound of the Ron Hicklin Singers, who were on all my favorite ad jingles in the 70s and everything, and sang some of the great theme songs that you would know and love. And I've talked about them before, and I will do an entire show on the Ron Hicklin Singers someday, which I will not broadcast. But I'm looking forward to it, just for me. Sometimes I do that. I'll just do a show. I say, who's going to hear that? I say, maybe just me. Now, that brings me to another part of how do you do it, Hardy. So I've got these things. What do you decide to produce? Like, you're going to do a show. Are you doing it as a parody? When I started on the radio, the one thing I wanted to do was to make fun of making fun. So a lot of times I had a lot of satire, parody or whatever. You know, oh, they're taking off on these detective shows. Well, I wanted to mock that. So I really started by saying, I want to make fun of making fun. I want to parody. And that's where it went from there. What I found out, though, is that you can't add meta layers to those things. You just end up making parody. So I'm making fun. No, you're just making fun at that point. You can't add them up. I know there's a word for that, but you can in math or something. But it is true. So what happens is that's why sometimes you go, oh, sometimes it feels like maybe Hardy is embarrassingly naive, or I don't want to use the cringe word, but you know, like, let's just call it sympathetic mortification. He's like, oh, I feel so bad that it hurts my butt. And that's because that's because you go, oh, does he know what he's doing, or that he's humiliating himself or something like that? And the answer is, I don't know. I'm not sure. So there you go. That it started like that. I wanted to make fun of making fun. Then I just really started enjoying doing the soundscapes for like old shows and everything. I would listen, I'd clean the house or something. You have on an old 70s, either a sitcom or adventure show or something. I have on Rockford Files, let's say. And then you start hearing it as an audio play. And because it's television, you know, there's lots of periods where it's just do-dum-dum, and they Quinn Martin out or whatever you call it, and and that's when you get the wah pedal out and everything like that. I find that fun too. So sometimes I'll do that, all the guitars and the, if you hear it and it sounds like an old 70s, that's usually me. That's the only type of music I can actually know how to play anyway. So that sounds like, you know, mid-70s funk. There you go. I'm sorry. I stopped there. I quit lessons. I ran out of money for lessons, you know, and there you go. But it's come in handy for, I think, the radio. And I love it. And I wish I could. I played so many instruments that I can't play on the radio. And that's a dream. So Hardy, you don't play violin very well. No, I don't. But I believe that it's been broadcast to all of North Jersey and New York City, which is amazing. That's so punk. I feel that way too. I feel like, well, maybe that's what I'm doing. Is that you just insist on what you're doing. And I think that is the second half here, the non-skit part. Say, Hardy, what is the drives the other part of the show when you're just speaking to people? Well, I have three principles. One, I realize how difficult life is. And as the older I would get, I would realize that people's struggles are profound. And there's a lot of people out there that are really suffering physically, mentally, everything. It's really hard to live your life. If you say it isn't, then I'm come back in about 5 years or something. Things happen. It's a struggle, and you can't do it alone. You need support, and you need support of strangers too. You need other people to say, "Hey, friend, you may not know me, but here's a voice that's telling you what you're going through is human." So I wanted to do that. That I thought was be a manifestation of my moral life. So I want to take things I believe and then apply them. And so I have been so touched and blessed by kindness in my life. I've been loved. and I've been given grace and forgiveness over and over again. And so I want to share that. And so that's part of it. Two, I suspect that I don't know what I'm talking about and that I could do great harm by sounding as if I do. And so I must integrate into this help some sort of caveat, some sort of, I don't know what it is, some sort of safety to ensure that no one really fixates on anything that I'm saying or thinks that I know what I'm talking about or anything like that. I don't want to be taken too seriously. And then I realized, well, what is your, what can you give? What do you have? Like the little drummer boy said, I'm going to go see Jesus. I'm sorry. This is like Delta Sky Club. You either need an American Express with a certain picture on it or some sort of gift. I don't know. All I got is this drum. Well, give him the drum. Well, no, wait now. I don't want to give the baby the drum. Give the baby the damn drum. That's all you have. No, wait. Hear me out. I need the drum. I'm a drummer boy. So I was thinking of giving him a song. Oh, that's, I'm not going to lie to you. You're cheaping out a little bit. I know you're poor, but a song, come on now. Well, I would go, one, run the song by me. Okay. I am a poor boy, says a rump-a-bump. I'm going to stop you right there because I notice you're not even playing the drum.
Well, this song is not a drum song.
Yeah, then give the drum to the baby. I don't know what the problem is. So that's my problem. I'm coming before you. I want to give you a gift. And should I just give you my drum? Or should I hold my drum while I sing? Or should I hit the drum? So there you go. It's really a three-stooled leg is what I call it. There's a leg and it's got three stools on it. Gross, right? But that's really, things are more complex, you know, than we are aware of sometimes. And so even helping, you know, you can harm by helping. You know, let's say somebody's laying on the road, they got their back broken. You go, here, I'll help you stand up. No, you don't have to. No, I want to. You know, and it's just, you've done irreparable harm. So I didn't want to like feel good that I was doing something. And, when I wasn't. So you go on the air, you say something silly and offhanded, you know, about, I don't know, somebody having big ears or something like that. And then it hurts someone. And part of you think is like, well, you're toughing up. But that's not really where what I was going for, you know. I was going for not hurting anybody. And so you must say things anyway, but also then try to be thoughtful and then try not to fixate and panic that you have said something stupid that people have heard. Now, I've managed it by not actually, you know, I tried to limit my audience. You know, you don't want to be too popular. When people come in that don't understand the premise, for instance, it could be a restaurant. Let's say you have a small restaurant and you make a really good sandwich. You make this like cheese sandwich or a vegetable sandwich and everybody likes it. The zebra cheese veggie. There was a restaurant in my hometown that had the zebra cheese veggie. It was very good. Now let's say you made that in a small shop. Now people started hearing about it and they started coming in and everything like that. And then they had all sorts of complaints and stuff they wanted done differently. And now you're not serving your core customer base anymore, you know? So I've always thought it would be nice if that we all knew each other, sort of. And then we could, I'm not responsible for developing a relationship with you over time. They've just let me. Every year that I've been on this station, I thought, well, this is it. They got, because it isn't a permanent thing or anything. It's that you're here by the, grace of God. And, and God's very nice. And I like him and we get along, but he has to make decisions. And so there you go. Now I do that sometimes too, because the fourth stool leg is the art part. I'd like to experiment. Because there's no rules on the radio station, I have this unique opportunity to do things that would, in another context, be completely, utterly inappropriate, stupid, a waste of time, that kind of thing. So if this was a radio station that really depended on ad revenue from Simitaler Chrysler Plymouth. So Simitaler Chrysler Plymouth, we hear from Simitaler. I heard your latest show. I didn't like it very much, and I don't want our Chrysler Plymouth products associated with that if you're going to be like, So there's that, and you have to adjust. But there's nobody that tells me that I can't make mouth sounds, and this radio station has a grand tradition of that, you know? So I've been able to mix it, to change gears. I can talk to you like this. Then I can go off. I can do a radio play. Now, I come back. Now I'm just going to do mouth noises for a while and show the influence of Kurtschwitters and the Orsonata that's had on my art. I call it art. Art with a small A and a big T at the end. I don't know how I'm going to spell it yet, but it's not regular. It's not serious art. I call it art because what isn't? If you're making something and it has no practical purpose, it's probably art. What I do has no practical purpose. No, less than music even. Can you imagine that? Well, here's the thing. I like to make sounds. And sometimes sounds communicate things. Sometimes they contain very complex ideas, and we can do that with language. Sometimes language can be used with mathematical precision to express ideas from one brain to another with details, so that one brain can convey all this information that can be then used to do things. So if I give you a recipe, you can then use that recipe to make something. If I give you a technique for calming your soul, what's a technique for calming your soul? I make crazy sounds when I know that I'm alone. I like to express myself vocally to feel like I'm in control of something, to speak to the universe in a private language that only the universe and I understand. So I can use my body to utter words that aren't in a language. Because our feelings transcend that sometimes. They defy description. Our struggles defy description sometimes. And what we need is a feeling. And I want to give you that, too. I want to say, Hardy White's my friend on the radio. Boy, I don't know why I'm going to get. I know I'm going to get somebody talking to me. And I know I'm going to get somebody who's talking to me who acknowledges my struggle. I'm sort of tired of being mocked. And there's nothing worse than hearing somebody or listening to something, and then they start making fun of something or criticizing something, and you go, oh, that's me. They're talking about me. And that feels real bad. And I would hopefully never do that to you. So, you know, I don't even say things like, and it's not, gosh, I'm going to make myself sound like I'm a kind of a coward. And it isn't that. I just don't think it's necessary to sort of insult people sometimes in just a casual way. For instance, even if it's silly or teasing. And the only reason is because we get too much of the serious stuff. So when someone says, if you like Pop-Tarts, you're something wrong with you. I would say, if you like Pop-Tarts, you're probably some kind of mental deficient. You know, when people do that joking around and everything, oh, I know they're not serious. But, you know, I think about every time they make fun of someone's hat. And you go, oh, look at that Brooklyn hipster and his dumb hat. I hate those people. And I go, oh, my gosh, you know, I wonder how bad they are. Like, I wonder how bad a person a pork pie hat makes you. Because I start feeling sort of tender. Because I remember, like, kids in school or something, it's like, I'm going to express myself today. I'm going to wear a hat that brings me joy. And then you learn, well, no, you can't necessarily do that. You're going to get ridiculed. And I just, that makes me so sad. I want to live in a world like that. I want to live in a world where somebody comes in with a funny hat one day and you go, man, great hat. I've never seen a hat like that. Keep your head warm. I wouldn't wear a hat like that. But I think it's great on you. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, save outrage maybe for moral things. Say, I noticed you came in with a bag of severed puppy heads. And I'd like to have a word. See, to me, that is worse than wearing a band T-shirt of a band you haven't seen. Which I know a lot of people go, argh! But I think as you get older maybe, and you meet really horrible people, you've probably been too harsh on the merely goofy. And that there are others who are really much more deserving of your ire. And that to take offense at helpless individuals' choices and their silly attempts to not feel despair, man, I don't know. I wake up every day and I say, please, let me judge less. That's another thing, too. I do a sort of prayer because I'm afraid I'm going to forget things. I'm afraid I'm going to forget there are other people struggling. So I try to every day say, you know, hey, don't forget the people in prison. Don't forget the people who are sick. Don't forget the people who are starving. Don't forget the people whose mental health is making their life hell. Don't forget them. Now, there might not be anything I can do, but by keeping it in my mind, if the opportunity arises, it will be right there. I'll remember. And it's easy to forget. I shut it all out sometimes. Oh, I can't take it. But then I remember, hey, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to find you. I'm going to hug you. And then we're going to have some goofy fun together and survive this test, whatever it is, whatever life is, whatever this strange experience is of time and space. I don't know what's going on. I wish I could say. It feels almost borderline humiliating to get older and older and have fewer and fewer answers. But I keep getting more evidence. I keep getting more information. And so I plug it into my formulas, and it never works. And I have to redo things again. I have not figured it out. But I have figured out enough that I feel like I'm causing fewer problems for myself. And that's important. Because if I do have something for you, say, Hardy, I like the funny noises you make, then I need to also take care of myself and stay healthy. And we do that together, cooperatively. And this is one of the reasons that I haven't quit on you, even though I clearly don't always have ideas, not always feeling inspired, but I just say, keep going. Well, what if that inspiration's coming next week? What if the person that you are supposed to help hasn't even started listening to your show yet? What, are you going to quit? Because you go, I didn't win an award. First of all, thank goodness I'm not up for one, because then I'd be sad I didn't get it. But, you know, no, I'm not going to go anywhere. I've actually moved past the point of needing some things, some credit. Praise, even? You know? I think I've done, because I've done as many really stupid fail projects, as many successful ones, I don't really feel it's about me anymore. You know? It feels more about life in general. It, just being somewhere and being part of a thing, and I'm glad for it. So I try, and there will come a time when I will be completely out of ideas and completely out of energy. And then that will probably be 3 years after I've been fired anyway. So we don't have to worry about that. Oh, my friends, are you going to go out and do a show? You ought to do it. It's so easy. I started as a little kid with a tape recorder. I had a cassette recorder. And then my mother, my grandfather, somebody got me these old-time radio tapes. So as a very young child, I was listening to Baby Snooks and Jack Benny and all of that. And then a high school or junior high teacher turned me on to Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner and to Bob and Ray. And I listened to that. And then Martin Mull, and that was all changed my life right there. That changed my life. I thought, this is fantastic. And then it really changed when I was just driving down the road one day in North Florida. And I clicked on the radio. I don't know if it was AM or FM or what. And it was one of these small North Florida radio stations. Was some sort of talk show. Maybe it was a swap shop. I don't know if they have those where you live, but there'd be radio swap shops. There'd be,
we got five roosters, and those roosters are going to be $5 a piece, he's asking. So then we have a toaster, good working condition, he's looking for $10 of that. Have two bicycles, no wheels. Wanting to get 20 for that. There's a case of chicken beaks.
So stuff like that. And then, you know, they hook you up with other people. And then occasionally they'd have somebody on saying the key to health is lies through the colon. And there was almost a religious, well, we've seen this now. This was years ago, but now we've seen that there's a connection to strange medicine and religion. I don't know what it is. I guess if you're standing there in your church and you're thinking, good God, they'll buy anything. And you think, maybe I'll sell them, some kind of syrup.
So this is a syrup, and have this, and it gets all the poo out of you.
All right. So there's lots of that going on. And that inspired me. And I thought, how fun. I'm going to go on. And then what if I was on the radio and I genuinely cared, you know? We'll try that. Try not to be cynical. Try not to give to fool people. To fool them, not fool them. And we see how that worked out. It didn't really work out as a career, and I didn't want it to. It was more of a mission. It's always been that. That's why it's difficult to, you know, and no one asks me, say, we'd like you to sell bread. It never comes up. I've never been asked to sell anything, really, because they recognize, well, that's not going to work.
We've never heard of you, and so we can't use you to sell anything.
Hey, fair enough. That's great. I don't know how I got here. I don't know why I'm talking to you. I mean, I do know. It was Brett. But other than that, it's like sort of fate. And now we're friends. And we've been friends. I'm telling you, there's people on the radio who are legitimately my friends now that I've met that way. And I think that's remarkable. So you get in there and say, I say hello, friends, and I'm literally talking to my friends. Also, you're talking to people that can't stand you sometimes. I'm sure there's people that hate listen.
So this guy's voice, it grates. It's grating on me.
I like to see how far I can push that sometimes. If you go to if I'm doing word jazz, which I'm not really, but I would be more on the squeak squawk end of word jazz and seeing how much I can push tolerance, for instance.
You want to buy a duck? So, Joe Penner. Joe Penner!
You're a nasty man.
See, I think Joe Penner's voice is incredibly irritating. Like that. And the reason I do it is as a color, as a flavor. You know, not everything has to be sweet or good or anything like that. I think it's okay with some things being grating. I have family members that ask me not to do certain impressions. And
Hans Conrad is one of them. Please don't do Hans Conrad, you know, in the beginning.
I would get DVDs of people, of shows that had these people on there just watch endlessly. Hans Conrad, I watched it. I mean, I'm not saying I do a good impression, but I'm just telling you how I go about it.
So Hans Conrad, I watch these fractured
fairy tales, what are they called? Fractured, it was sort of a Jay Ward pre-Bullwinkle thing. Fractured Funnies, that's what it was.
It was hosted by Hans Conrad.
And then Edward Everett Horton. I've done that because I wanted to recreate some Jay Ward things. And of course, he narrated certain. So then we can do that one. I'm trying to think of some annoying voices that people tell me not to do. Do Dawes Butler doing Jerry Lewis, which is Quisp, you know.
Starlight Salmon up here!
And that's horrifying and annoying, right? They're not necessarily because they're loud. And I'm trying to think of something. I've been trying to work on Christopher Lee, and it's hard. I'm the right register. I just can't. There's certain.
I've gotten that one. He opens his throat.
So that, I know that doesn't sound like Christopher Lee, but I had to listen for hours just to hear him release his throat muscles for certain certain sounds. Isn't that interesting?
No.
I'm trying to think of some other. I can't think of anything more impressions that I do accurately. None of them are accurate, I don't think. And I've been working on, you know, Ernie Anderson. And so there you go. And it's mainly not to get an accurate impression, but it's the way that voice characters were done in, well, cartoons, is that the easiest way to get a separate voice for something is just to do an impression. I have done like a total of one cartoon ever voiceover, and I did two voices. One of them was an elderly Ninja Turtle, and the other was a big HVAC unit, and I just did sort of an Orson Welles, and then that was it. But you have to do that so that if you're doing multiple voices, you don't lose track. You just go do the Edward Horton voice, do the whatever. And, you know, I did, I've done Patrick McGowan, Darren McGavin. Again, not well, but just so that I could have a separate speech pattern. And when I was switching those voices, I would have a thing in my head that allowed me to remember it. Oh, I hope you've enjoyed the show. I took it apart. I've dismantled it for you. I don't know if it's fun or helpful. I also think I may have done this already, but who knows? But if I haven't, boy, I hope you learned something and maybe take a chance. You could just have GarageBand or something. You get everything you need right there. All the don't use their sound effects though, because everybody recognizes them. But you can use all the synth patches and everything. They sound fine. And that's it. And I love you so much. Oh my goodness! And it really. It really is love, I think, you know. I like to start with love, and then you can, you know, ruin it. But I that's how I, you know, so you can't love me, you don't know me. I go, that's the only way I can love you, Because the more I know you, you're going to challenge me. So this is great. Because this way I can just, I can love you. You won't mess it up. I won't mess it up. And we just treat it like we're part of a beautiful relationship. And I'm so blessed to be on the radio, be able to communicate with you and talk about love and compassion and silliness and Dada and breaking certain poison stories that we must destroy and we must think chaotically to do it, I believe. So I love you. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online, WFMU.org. New York City, did I say Rockland County, New York City? This is all mangled. I wonder if they'll have to redo it. But I think I got all the information out there. Online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you again next.
On my list for this, and I know.